Blog Talk Radio.
Up my lungs, a nigga be blowin', spittin' the game. Coming up on you from the south, the ATLians ain't changed. Cooler than most players claim to be. A nigga that's from the A-Town C, the home of the bank headbound. Cabin to road and other city streets, enough of the morality. Fallacy, but if we speak, not fiction. Keepin' up pullin' your guts, lickin' at Jerry Curls, you bitches. Every time I rhyme for y'all, I'm looking to prove a point. Kicking a freestyle every now and then, but mostly after joint. See how I smoke good, cause see it go good with them flows. Why? The nigga the B.I.G. like Tony Rich, nobody knows why. But me and my folks, cause y'all niggas joke just like the Joker. I'm sick of these whack-ass rappers like I'm tired of hoes.
Who them boys that be having a crunk every occasion? This side niggas dust and that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drop bombs. Asking where we come from, so I approach long.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. It's just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
This old sucker MC stepped up to me. Challenged Andre to a battle, and I stood there patiently as he spit and stumbled over cliches, so-called freestyling. Whole purpose just to make me feel look. I guess he wild, and I say, look, why I ain't for that fuck shit. So fuck this, let me explain only child style so you don't miss. I grew up to myself, not round no park bench. Just a nigga busting flows off in the apartment. Now who them boys that be having to crunk every occasion? This side niggas dusting, that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drop bombs. Asking where we come from, so I approach long.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. It's just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
It goes from to the Fleetwood, coops to the Beatles. Hated the bows and all these souls, we having a play of chill. In this atmosphere, this ain't no practice here, we cutting the food now. I'm doing you at the house and throwing you out because I'm due now. Don't you love the way we claiming bankhead, stankhead? Looking around this watch for the herb that's never tainted. Fainted when you heard the bourbon serving on the block. And all you biting individuals need to check yourself and stop.
Yeah, tight like nuts and bolts, less than hoes, they get evicted. I'm dealing with queens in my castle, ain't worth it to risk it. Now tricks be looking at me like I'm they way about the project. Can't put you on my payroll. And no, I ain't got no Rolex or no diamond at the exit with a sign saying we a rapper fool. My face is balled up cause I ain't in a happy mood. While my partner got the squeegee and the Windex. Cause somewhere in my life I done went wrong just like a Fintech. Error, bring the terror to your dome like PE. Gonna finish this out because this be a free style. Now who the boys that be having it crunk every occasion? This side niggas dustin', that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drop.
What's going on?
How we doing?
Good, good. Doom Radio back in effect. Talking that NFL draft that's happening later tonight. So we're back. Our show, day of the draft. Talk a little draft talk. What do you think? Probably we'll get through. It's top 10, or maybe you can just bounce around.
Well, we can definitely bounce around. I don't know if we'll necessarily make it to the top 10. I guess we could always, well, we should at least start at the top, you know, Buccaneers. I would say at least, you know, start with the top three. I think we should write down who we think the picks are, that what each team is going to do.
Okay. I like that idea. It's actually a very good idea.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk lately about possibly Mariota going number one, but I still think Jameis Winston will go number one to Tampa. I mean, Florida kid. I obviously went to Florida State from Alabama, but, you know, kid that made his bones playing college football in the state of Florida, you know, you would have to think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with him being the number one overall rated prospect, they need a quarterback. You have to figure that they're going to take him. At least I think that they would take him. I think he's a better pro prospect than Mariota, as everyone's kind of said all along. Now, obviously, you have the character issues off the field, but, you know, he's a college kid. You know what I mean? I always give kids the benefit of the doubt. So I think the number one pick is definitely going to be Jameis Winston, but I do think that Tennessee is probably going to trade out of that number two spot. I don't think they're going to take Mariota.
Okay. Because we were talking about this earlier. You think Cleveland might jump up?
Well, I think Cleveland could possibly jump up, but I don't think that they are necessarily the most likely team to jump up. I mean, they've got multiple picks. So I think that they have more maneuverability than probably most teams because they have multiple picks in the first round. But The team that I really like to jump up, I watch out for San Diego. I think San Diego is definitely a team that you could see, even Philadelphia, I think at 20, and I think San Diego at number 17, I actually think has probably one of the best chance to land Mariota if they really want to. I think that they could use Phillip Rivers as leverage, plus their 17th pick. Yeah, I think that they could trade that to Tennessee. I think you could say to Tennessee, hey, I'll give you Phillip Rivers. I'll also give you the number 19th pick, and I'll give you our second round pick in this draft also. You know?
Yeah.
I personally think that would be a really good pickup for San Diego. I mean, I kind of think that getting rid of Phillip Rivers, I think giving him a chance to maybe win, I think sending him to Tennessee, obviously the second worst team in the league last year, is not exactly nice of them.
Yeah,
he's trying to say, obviously they're not sending him to like a total winning franchise. I mean, honestly, I think a team like the Houston Texans would benefit from obviously having someone like Phillip Rivers, because I feel like they're really close. They had a lot of guys, but obviously the Texans are the number 16 pick, so San Diego, you know, isn't necessarily looking to trade up one spot. It's not really going to make much of a difference to them. So I think even the Jets are in play at number 6. I mean, I don't necessarily think that's
who I would – honestly, I was thinking if I had to think somebody really interested in jump up, I would think Jets.
I know that everybody says that Chip Kelly is willing to do just about anything except for obviously completely mortgage out the farm in Philadelphia in order to get Mariota so that he can run the kind of offense that he wants to run, because that's the kind of quarterback that he wants to have. So, I mean, I think that more than other drafts in recent years, this could be an interesting draft, because I think that there are a couple of players, specifically, I think after Winston goes at number 1, I think it's kind of a thing like the Tennessee, like, hey, Tennessee, are we going to take Mariota, and is he our guy? Or are we not sure about Mariota being our guy and we're going to trade back and acquire multiple picks since we're so terrible? We don't think that even if we have a great quarterback, like a quarterback of the future, it's not really going to matter because we won't be able to protect them. Or, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's one of those things where if I were Tennessee, I would trade back. I like trading back for multiple picks, but I don't like trading back out of the top 10. That's the only problem. Once you get past pick number 10, you know, what most of the other, you know, analysts have been saying is that once you get outside the top 10, the elite talent in this draft is gone. Like, there's a lot of good players that are going to be left, but guys that could be franchise changers, you know, most of those guys are pretty much going to be gone by the time you hit, you know, the top 10 is over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's one thing you have to think about, too, is, you know, are you going to get a guy like, you know, are the Jets going to swing someone like, I think the Jets could trade back and pick up Todd Gurley. I don't think 6 is a good pick for Gurley, but I think if the Jets traded back to a team like New Orleans, I think you could possibly see New Orleans maybe, you know, slide up in the draft to try to get one of the edge rushers that they're looking for. I mean, also, a lot of people think that the Jets might just pick Dante Fowler. You know, they've got Todd Bowles, a new head coach there, defensive guy, but the Jets have spent their last 6 first-round picks on defensive players. So they've talked about going in a different direction and taking somebody on offense this year. So, you know, that's why I think that it's possible that the Jets could slide back. Obviously they lost Chris Johnson and they lost whoever one of their other running backs was last year. Obviously there's no Percy Harvin in the running attack anymore. So I think that they're, you know, really looking for someone, you know, to try to solidify that running back spot. So I think, I think you could see that. I like the Jets trading out of that, maybe down to a pick. You know, I could see the Jets taking on Phillip Rivers, trading down to pick 17 and taking Todd Gurley at pick number 17. You know, I think this is, has, depending on how things shake out, this has the makings of a very interesting draft, which is unfortunate that I'll be working when this is taking place, but you can always get updates.
Yeah, I just see, with the Titans, I really do think for them it's trading back would be best, because when I just look back to the last season, like, you watch them, and there really just wasn't nothing good really to say about them. They were just a mess across the board. You know, the Bucks, on the other hand, they didn't win a lot. You know, they obviously didn't. They're number one pick. But a lot of those games, they had the chance to win. They blew it more. They blew it a lot. So I saw talent in the Bucks where it's like, hey, maybe just one player or, you know, two players that they could add to the team this year and they could make a run for the playoffs. Whereas the Titans, they just look like a, you know, a project in the works. Like, they need a year or two to really try to make an impact. And if you can get multiple talent, I think I would rather go for that thing. Like you said, you get a quarterback, it'll be like a David Carr situation. You get the best quarterback in the draft, but you give him no offensive line. You don't really put a lot of, like, players around him. He's not going to do anything. You know, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is. He needs a team. And I just don't think the Titans are that team to try to, like, get top quarterback talent and expect to have things turn around.
Yeah. Well, even regardless if they trade out of that pick, I still think that Mariota is going to go number two. So even if Tennessee trades that pick, I still think Mariota is going to be the second overall player taken, even if they trade out of that spot. So if we're keeping track, I still got Winston, Mariota, one and two.
Okay.
And then that's where it gets a little bit more interesting. Jacksonville picks up number three. And now a lot of people think that Jacksonville could go wide receiver here, but I think Jacksonville will go defense. I actually think that they're going to take Dante Fowler, kid that went to Florida, you know, in-state guy. I think that they're going to pick up Fowler at number three. They need an edge guy to play that Leo spot. So,
yeah.
I like that one right there as far as the pick at number three.
Jags need D. They were embarrassing last year. They were getting better as the year progressed, but early on it was just blowout after blowout. I mean, after blowout, it was just a joke when people played them. I remember last year.
I mean, honestly,
we're predicting how many points the other team will.
I mean, here's the thing about anybody drafting in the top. Unless you've gotten this pick from someone else, if you're drafting in the top 10, your team wasn't all that great last year, especially if you're drafting in the top 5. And this is where you get those really, like, hit or miss picks is within the top 5. I always feel like, so I think Dante Fowler is a safe pick for Jacksonville. A lot of people think Leonard Williams could go there in that same spot, which I think is a possibility also. A lot of people I like the Raiders to take a wide receiver. I think the Raiders are going to take Amari Cooper, honestly. I mean, that's why I think pick number four is. I mean, the Redskins are a wild card there at number five to me slightly because they've got 1 year left on the RG3 deal. They don't really have anyone else at quarterback in Washington, so either they're kind of going to let him take it over. I think Washington is a wild card. I think you could see them jump up there and take Mariota, but I feel like that would be them, you know, drafting RG3 all over again. I feel like it's almost essentially the same quarterback. So I feel like that would be silly for the Redskins to do that. So I don't know if they'll go with that pick. I think they could pick up definitely. I think the Redskins could pick up an edge rusher. I like Randy Gregory to go to number five. I think the off the field stuff, a lot of people inflate that. You know, make it seem like, oh, he's not, he, you know, he'll slide down draft boards because of, you know, certain issues. But I think he's been considered the best pass rusher in the draft. So I don't know how far he could really slide down. You know, what did they do? They had something on the upcoming, because the draft was coming up. They had a redo of the Jets, drafted Kyle Brady instead of Warren Sapp in like the 1995 NFL draft or something like that. And Warren Sapp was slighted because of his the certain off the field, you know, issues or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, he ended up becoming a Hall of Fame player, and Kyle Brady was still a good pick, but obviously Tampa Bay ended up going on to win the Super Bowl. The Jets still have not, you know, won a Super Bowl since
seen the Super Bowl.
I believe
the
name
third.
Of days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it's tough. I don't know. I think Randy Gregory goes five, and I think pick number six, I think could see I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if Leonard Williams, I don't know if he can make, I don't know if he'll make it out of the top five. He's that good. He's that good. You know what? I'm going to slot Leonard Williams at number three inside. I think they could, Jacksonville could use an inside guy. Plus, Leonard Williams is from Daytona. So he's a Florida guy also. So he's from Florida.
Yeah.
So I think that Jacksonville goes Leonard Williams. I think Oakland goes Amari Cooper. I think number five.
Yeah, that makes too much sense, the Cooper pick.
Yeah, I mean, you just drafted David Carr or whatever. You drafted the other Carr last year out in Oakland. So I figure you might as well give the guy someone to throw at that's not 35 years old, named like James Jones. So that's probably a good idea, I would think, for Oakland to pick up Amari Cooper. I mean, the other guy, Kevin White out of West Virginia, I saw an interview with him on TV. I mean, he's only 6'2". He's got like a big body, but the only person that's been as fast and as big as him at the combine over the last like 6 years is Calvin Johnson. So I will definitely say, like, you know, he's in rarefied air when it comes to the measuring tape numbers. But, you know, Calvin Johnson's also like 6'5", so he's got 3 extra inches. But
yeah.
Kevin White from West Virginia, he's going to be, I think he'll be a top 10 pick.
I think he could
go number 7 to Chicago.
I was going to say, I could see 5 through 7, Skins, Jets, or Bears going for, you know, a receiver, especially if for some stupid reason if the Raiders pass up Cooper. I could see any of those teams jumping on Cooper.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because, you know, a lot of teams, when you're in the very top of the draft, a lot of times you might not necessarily draft on exactly what your need is because you want to draft the best available talent that's available at the time. And as long as you're not overloaded at that position, you know, it makes sense to take the best available player.
Yeah, and they all, in my opinion, need a fucking star receiver. So it's not going to be like, oh, we got rid of Cooper.
Chicago got rid of Brandon Marshall, right?
Yeah.
And so they've got Alshon Jeffrey. So Chicago needs a legit number one wide receiver. I mean, I would think that Kevin White would be a good pickup right there for them. I mean, the Jets need a ton of players. But I think running back, I think the Jets might trade out of that pick. And if the Jets trade out of that pick, I don't know who would necessarily end up going number 6. I mean, tough.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm looking, you know, because top 10, you also got, like, the Giants. That's another team, like, you know, didn't have the best year, obviously, in the top 10, but they still have a decent team and, you know, won a few good picks this draft and, you know, they're making a run for the playoffs. It's Falcons, definitely defense, if I had to guess. That defense was weak this year.
Well, yeah, they were one of the worst defenses, I mean, easily. Last year, I mean, I saw them get shredded by the Minnesota Vikings, who weren't very good.
Yeah.
I think, what do they have, the ninth pick? Or the eighth pick?
Eighth pick, the Falcons.
They got the eighth pick? I mean, honestly, I could see them going cornerback, Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. They've had so many problems on the offensive line, though. You know what I mean? How many guys on the offensive line were injured last year? I mean, I could see them going, you know, Brandon Scherff from Iowa, possibly. I could even see them going Andrew Speed from Stanford, the offensive tackle. But, I mean, the new name that's coming up, though, is Eric Flowers, the offensive tackle out of Miami. Supposedly he can play a little bit of right tackle. He's kind of versatile like that. And a lot of people like him to maybe go number 10 to St. Louis to protect Nick Foles that they just acquired in the Sam Bradford deal. So, I mean, they've even got Breshad Perriman out of UCF as like a top 20 pick.
Yeah, the let's see. I'm trying to get a full list of the draft in front of me for first round. Because they're only doing first round today, right? Is that how it goes? Or is it first and second
round
today?
Yeah, tonight's only the first round, and then the second, it starts at 8, then the second and third round will be tomorrow. And then the rest is like over the weekend, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot how it all worked. Let's see. St. Louis. I thought I saw that St. Louis had two. Well, I don't think they do. Okay. Now, New Orleans and the Cleveland have two picks this draft.
In the first round?
Yeah.
They both have two picks in the first round?
Yep, because Saints got the 31st pick from Seattle for Graham.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they
I mean, New Orleans needs a lot of help on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got Drew Brees for a couple more years. I don't see them reaching to take a quarterback. I think they could possibly, I mean, they talked about taking a quarterback, but if anything, I could see them taking a guy like, you know, maybe like a Bryce Petty in like the fourth round or something like that. But I don't think either one of their first round picks are going to be, I mean, I think that they could possibly bundle their number 31 pick and maybe, do they have a pick at the beginning of the second round? They do. They've got the 44th pick. I could see them taking 44 and 31 and moving up in the draft to possibly take someone else. You know, if they've got the 13th pick, I could see them moving up and getting another pick from somebody else. You know what I mean? In order to move up and try to score a couple of guys that were in the top. So, I mean, I know they need guys on defense. I mean, I think they need guys up front. I think Eddie Goldman from Florida State would be a good pick for them. At number 31, if he's still available. That's why I think that they could even, I mean, they could even trade down to Cleveland. Cleveland's got 12 and 19. And they could even trade down to Cleveland at number 19, and then how Cleveland could have back-to-back picks at 12 and 13, or they could package those, the 12th and 13th pick, to try to move up if they want to take Mariota.
So,
I mean, there's endless scenarios, in my opinion, in this draft.
I think it would be really dumb if Cleveland jumped up 2 years in a row to get a quarterback.
I think that would be a huge, huge mistake if they were to try to take Mariota or do something like that in order to, because they think that he's, you know, the savior. I honestly think that they should give Johnny Manziel a shot. At least.
Yeah.
The guy's thrown 35 passes in, like, two games, and you already want to say, like, his career's over? Like, are you kidding me? you're the team that was willing to give, like, Brian Hoyer, like, a few years, like, to see if he would be, like, better than, like, you know, just an average quarterback. You want to give Manziel, a guy that you drafted in the first round, you won't give that guy at least, like, a year to see if he works out? At least, like, a half a season? I mean, I don't understand what people are doing. These are like business decisions, million-dollar decisions you're making. You're like, oh, well, no, we don't like him anymore. We'll just toss him next.
Yeah, like, now, if I saw –
so weird.
I could see him moving up to get Cooper if they were scared he was going to go too early. But I just – like, because I don't know. Because Gordon, I feel like he's suspended again, I feel like. I just feel like he got arrested again. It just – you see it so often. I just feel like it's always in the news. I think he's done. I just saw Deion Jordan was done for the year, so Miami might be going defense early.
Miami moved up. Miami had the number 9 pick in that draft, and they traded up to number 3 to draft someone that essentially did nothing. I mean, talk about a huge draft bust. I mean, who were the first two picks in that draft? Was Andrew Luck the first pick in that draft?
I think Andrew Luck might have been the first pick.
That's the draft. They drafted.
I'm
who was drafted
Google
second?
It right
who,
now.
Who was second behind Luck? Was that RG3 was number 2 behind Luck, right? Luck, then RG3.
If
you're on ESPN.com, they've got the draft rankings. They got all the drafts from, like, the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, he's never heard of him. He did, like you said, nothing.
Yeah,
he got injured early.
They were
his first year.
He was like tall, rangy linebacker from Oregon. Like, he was going to do all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he's terrible. I don't know if it's one of those things. Like, I think that different players can excel in different systems, like whether it's the NFL or college. So I know, like, Chip Kelly thinks that he can just get guys that play to his system strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to just engineer, you know, this amazing team. So I don't know. I mean, he's done okay so far. I mean, I don't think that they didn't make the playoffs last year, though, did they? Eagles?
No, Miami?
No, the Eagles.
Oh, Eagles? No. They missed out. Then they had a good shot, but then they started losing near the end.
I mean, I honestly, like, I like the moves that he made in the offseason. I think that anytime, you know, a team just, like, really shakes it up and totally goes for broke, I mean, I think that's interesting. You know what I mean? You trade LeSean McCoy to Buffalo for Kiko Alonso, and then you trade Nick Foles for Sam Bradford, essentially, and like, a pick. And then you sign Tim Tebow. It's like a circus over there in Philadelphia. It's like ridiculous.
It is. No, it really is. Like, I mean, they should give Tebow a shot, like, for first string or not, like, shot as in, like, he should jump in, be number one, and get a shot that way. But they should definitely
be part of the conversation.
The future. Like, yeah, let's make it a quarterback, you know, competition. Who's going to get the first? Not just say, well, we're going to start with Bradford until he gets hurt, and then we'll throw Tebow in. Like, don't go that way at all. You know, let both of them get some first string
snaps. Well, supposedly, the Cleveland Browns were looking to acquire Sam Bradford before Philadelphia did.
Oh, wow.
So can you – that's the thing. I mean, honestly – If I was Cleveland, I would prefer Sam Bradford over Josh McCown, because the possibility, if he actually does stay healthy, even though I believe his nickname in the NFL is now Unbreakable, I'm pretty sure that Sam Bradford is a better option than healthy than Josh McCown. Which is why I could see why Cleveland would want him. You could get him at a reduced price. You could probably, I forget what they got him for. They got him for like Nick Foles and what, like a fourth round pick. Or so I don't even know. I'd have to double check on that, but I think dude, Cleveland is just a mess.
Yeah, they're a mess everywhere.
Well, I read an article about what the problem with drafting Johnny Manziel in that division was. I mean, if you look at the division, it's a tough division in the first place. I mean, you're playing in the AFC North. It's windy, it's rainy, the teams have awesome defense. If you look at when Johnny Manziel had his worst college football games, it was in the rain against teams with awesome defense. So you're essentially drafting him into his worst possible
scenario.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if he would have gotten drafted, honestly, I'm not even kidding you, if he would have gotten drafted to a team last year, like Tampa, I think that would have been a lot better for him. You know what I mean? Or, like, if he went to a team like San Diego, I think he could work out well in San Diego, or even Arizona, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how long Carson Palmer, I mean, Arizona is the king of, like, they're the retirement of quarterbacks. Quarterbacks go to Arizona to retire. Like, for real.
Kurt Warner.
Dude, I'm telling you, Kurt Warner, now they got Carson Palmer. I mean, they're just like, hey, if you're over 36 and you can still throw a football, like, we'll come take a look at you.
Yeah.
that's what they're all about in Arizona.
The Deion Jordan, it was 2013, and he was in a draft where Kansas City got Eric Fisher first.
Oh, that's – you know, that was a boring and terrible draft.
Yeah.
Eric Fisher, I mean, I think he's still – okay, I know he's still playing in the league. But he's not.
That was first.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it's weird. Like, who? Okay, so Eric Fisher was the first off the board. Who was the second pick?
Luke Jokel.
Luke Choco of the Jaguars,
who got injured in his like fucking first NFL snap. Good pick, Jacksonville. Even when you don't draft a quarterback in the first round, you get totally. Oh man, some teams just have the worst luck. I mean, you have to look at the draft as like even you could draft the best player, but if that dude gets injured, like in some random like freak accident, like he breaks his leg on the first like snap of the NFL season, like what are you supposed to do? Like what do you like? You just have to put your hands in there and be like, you know what? Like what am I supposed to do? I work for the Jacksonville front office. What do you want me to do? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, they're.
So I think some teams are just unlucky. Like teams pass up. I mean, you know, here's the funny thing: if you are a quarterback, if you get released by the team that drafts you, like essentially your NFL career is almost over. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
The only quarterback I just thought about this off the top of my head last night. The only quarterback that I can think of in the last 10 years who has won a Super Bowl with a team that he wasn't drafted by is Drew Brees, who was drafted by San Diego, won with New Orleans. Every other quarterback, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco,
Russell Wilson,
all those guys were all drafted, and they won Super Bowls for the team that drafted them.
Mm-hmm.
So teams have got to realize that they've got to give guys a fair shot, and you know, for a team like Cleveland to be like, oh, the Manziel thing is over, and you really didn't even give him any playing time, I feel like that's just a waste of a pick and a waste of money. And you're almost setting the guy up for failure. Like, his career is pretty much over. And he's thrown 35 passes in the NFL. And then, okay, well, that's doing it.
If I was them, I would even try to trade him or something. Like, I don't know. That's just weird.
I mean, like I said, I think he could do good in a place like Arizona. I mean, I honestly thought that the Raiders would have been a great spot for him to land. Honestly, I just feel like with his, you know, his money personality, I felt like, you know, Oakland would have been a good spot for him. You know, just, you know, you're going to be in California, it's high profile. You know, I thought that would have been a better spot for him than Cleveland. So, I don't know. But I think, I've been looking at Chicago at number 7. I mean, that's, if I was going to root for a team in the NFL, that's a team that I would pull for. But, I mean, like, Chicago's pick at number 7, like, there's so many ways that they could go. I mean, I think they could go wide receiver, but their defense has been terrible. If Leonard Williams is available still from USC at number 7, they're going to take him. But I don't think he'll be there. But when you look at the teams before that, depending on how it shakes out, if Mariota and Winston go 1 and 2, okay, so then you've got 3, 4, 5, and 6. You've got 4 more picks. Like, I don't know who's going to – I mean, I feel like one of those teams is they're going to have to take Leonard Williams just because he's the best player on the board. And who doesn't need a star defensive tackle? Who does, you know, who doesn't need a can't miss defensive tackle in the NFL? Everybody needs one of those. So, you know, Chicago's pick up number 7. They're not. I mean, they could use probably an inside linebacker, but there's not a lot of great inside linebackers in this bunch. There's a lot of, you know, outside rush guys. So I mean, I don't know. Like, what Chicago's planning on doing. I mean, honestly, if Chicago were to trade out of their pick at number 7, and if they were to possibly, if Mariota was still somehow on the board, and they were to engineer, like, because it wouldn't necessarily be a farm mortgaging, if they could trade for 12 and 19 for Cleveland's picks, and Cleveland got the number 7 pick, and that was just, like, a straight-up deal, I think that would be good for both teams, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think Chicago would be better off getting 2 picks in the first round. They need a corner. So I could see them dropping down, taking like Trey Waynes at number 12, and then at number 19, I could see them taking another guy up front. You know, maybe some guy up in the defensive line. I mean, I could see them taking Eddie Goldman at 19. I mean, they have him slotted as like the 26th best player on the board, something like that. So I mean, that's not a super reach, you know, kind of up 5 slot. You know, obviously, if you're drafting on knee, other than best player on the board, when you're towards that end of the first round, you're getting a pretty good value at most positions that you're drafting at. A lot of the guys are going to be in that same overall grade range from, like, you know, 87 to 89. You know what I mean? So it's all who you're more comfortable taking, I believe, at that point. When you're getting down towards, like, the end of the first round, like, picks 18 through 30, 32, I think most of the value can get the same value around pick 18 that you can at pick 30.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a lot of these teams, you know, Giants.
I mean, who do you think Dallas
is? I can see them going second.
Okay, you're a Patriots fan. You guys had the last pick in the first round. Who do you think you're going to take?
I've been thinking about this. Our linebacking core really came together. Mayo's coming back. So, you know, we got Collins who really stepped up. I can really see us going. We have to take the best corner on the board, if you ask me.
Because you got no Darrell Reeves anymore. So you didn't go take
and
a corner?
Browner, I think, left too. I believe.
Okay,
so
if you want to take a corner, the best corner in the draft right now they have is Trey Wayne out of Michigan State. Then they've got Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest there. And they got Marcus Peters out of Washington. Even though he's had a lot of off-the-field issues, I think if he goes to a strong locker room, that could be a good pick. But he's only 5'11". He's not a big guy.
Yeah.
Wayne's is only 6 foot. Kevin Johnson's only 6 foot. So and those guys are those corners are a little bit smaller. So I don't know. I like. I mean, obviously, I'm a Florida State guy. I kind of like P.J. Williams. I know he's had, like, some off-the-field stuff recently. But I like P.J. Williams, I think, is a good pick, like, late on the first round. Because I don't know. I mean, corners are, like, a premium. If premium corners usually go.
Everybody needs
like,
a corner.
Pretty, exactly. Like, you know, so I don't know. I mean, through 32 picks, there's 1, 2, 3 corners rated in the top 32. So, I mean, I don't know. Having the last pick in the first round, I don't know if they'll be able to get one of those top-tier corners. So I don't know if they could end up going a different direction.
It's the Patriots. I won't be shocked if they trade out, pick up an extra, like, 2 and 4 or something like that. Like that wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
And especially if there's people on their board that they see
didn't they just release somebody after the Super Bowl? The big guy.
Wilfork. Yeah, we need to fill that hole too, yeah.
I mean, I could see, honestly, I could see at pick number, anybody that's in between pick 23 and 32, I could see anybody that needs a defensive tackle, I could see them taking Eddie Goldman from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of the best. I mean, Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle, is ranked above him, and so is Danny Shelton out of Washington. But other than that, I mean, those are the only three defensive tackles that are actually, I think, listed in the first round. There's a ton of wide receivers in the talent in the this year.
Yeah.
A ton. There's like 7 guys or 8 guys rated in the top 32 that are receivers. I mean, Amari Cooper, Kevin White, Devontae Parker out of Louisville. You've got Breshad Perriman out of UCF, Nelson Aguilar out of USC, Philip Dorsett out of Miami, Devin Smith out of Ohio State, and you've got Jalen Strong out of Arizona State. I think that's 7 guys.
Yeah, the wide receivers are definitely strong.
So, I mean, if you're looking to take a wide receiver, you know, anybody from, you know, Nelson Aguilar, Philip Dorsett, or Devin Smith, or Jalen Strong, I mean, those guys are all pretty much in the same area as far as I feel like talent level. So I feel like if you're thinking about drafting a wide receiver in the first round, you could definitely trade down if you're not going to get one of the top-tier guys like Kevin White or Amari Cooper, and you want to draft a wide receiver, I would trade down because I think you'll see defensive players be a much more of a premium. You'll see people actually trading up to get defensive players.
Yeah.
I think you will see guys trading up to take defensive guys and teams that need
trading back
wide receivers. Teams that need wide receivers, running backs will be trading down. Definitely. I mean, that's kind of how I see this going because the defensive talent is more at a premium in this draft. I think when you get to when you really get down to it, I think there's a lot more offensive versatility in the draft than there is defense. So I feel like you'll see a lot of those guys that really want the defensive guys kind of climbing up. After the quarterbacks are taken, I feel like the next – most of the next picks, I mean, other than Amari Cooper, I think most of those next picks are all going to be defensive guys, almost all the way up into pick like 8 or 9. I think then after 1 and 2, I think you might see like the next 6 or 7 picks are going to be all defensive guys, and there's going to be at least one trade in that top tier of the draft.
Yeah, it's. I think it's gonna be. I think what we could see is, especially if there's a trade early, and let's say for some reason teams aren't going defense, we might, or say like you said, like they go defense, and then Amari Cooper slips down, you know, the board a little bit. You know, that could just sway some people where they're like, well, our guy is there, but Cooper's there. You know, like we were saying earlier, you know, one of the best guys on the board is available. We have a number one, but why wouldn't we want Cooper at number two? You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of teams that have a great 1 and 2 combo usually make good pushes for the playoffs and Super Bowl. So it's not really a negative thing to go that way. And I can see it just swaying the draft a bit. Or people, like, wanting to jump up because they're like, wow, he's still there. Let's try to get him. So I think depending on the picks, we could see trades and people that we wouldn't expect them to grab to get because they're just – they're there. It's like gold in front of your face with no guards around. Like, take it and run.
Heard.
So it's I mean, I'm excited. Like you said, there's a lot of receivers. Every team can always use receivers. There's never really a team that doesn't need receivers. O linemen are always going to find a home.
I mean, I could see. I mean, honestly, I could see New England taking a wide receiver with their last pick in the first round. I mean, who do they have that you know all that great at receiver? Not really anybody.
Yeah,
although I feel like. Their top selections on receiver are always like, I don't think that they've drafted a receiver in the first round, and I can't even tell you how many years.
Yeah.
When's the last time New England drafted a receiver in the first round? I can't even tell you. Maybe Joey Galloway.
Not that
in
I can remember.
97? I think Joey Galloway in 97, man. I'm thinking that that's the
Well,
that's
if
the
they
pick.
Did, then they traded him to Seattle, if that. Because he ended up on Seattle.
Well, then he ended up at the end of his career on Tampa. I mean, Joey Galloway kind of went around, but I think that he might have been in the same draft or the one right before or right after Drew Bledsoe. That's the only reason why I say that, because I remember him being in New England with Bledsoe for a little while at the beginning of his career. For some reason, I remember that. So I want to
no,
throw
you know
it out there. Total guess.
Terry Glenn.
Wow.
That's who you're thinking of. You're thinking of Terry Glenn.
Probably.
Yeah. I believe they did draft Terry Glenn, I think, early on. But that was also before the Bill Belichick era, so.
Yeah. That was Parcells.
Yeah, that was Parcells.
But, I mean, honestly, I don't even think that Belichick drafted a receiver in the first round. Since he's been the head coach.
I'm trying to think offensive-minded, period. Normally, it's all defense or he trades out.
Everybody knows, like, even Tom Brady was, like, a sixth-round selection or whatever. So, obviously, like, he doesn't play the greatest premium on offensive positions. I feel like when they draft a lot of defensive guys high in the draft, like, I feel like they draft a lot of guys in the front seven or – You know what I mean? I feel like they usually draft, if they draft a corner, they draft corners towards like the end of the first round, middle to end of the first round. That's when they usually pick up linebackers, middle to end of the first round. But if they pick up anybody like Vince Wilfork was what, like the 10th overall pick or something like that. If they've got like a top 12 pick, like they'll usually try to pick up like a guy on defense, like the guy on the defensive line.
Because they
understand you got to win in the trenches.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what I agree with him.
I think when they had the 3rd or 6th pick, like when he first came in to the team, he got Richard Seymour.
That's, Richard Seymour.
They wanted to, everybody, fans, everybody wanted David Terrell from Michigan, and he went and got Seymour a year later, and then I think the next year they got Wilfork, and boom, Super Bowl was, like, right there, and David Terrell went on, like, having a terrible career at Chicago because he had no one to throw to him, and he actually did try out a little down the road on the Patriots, but he didn't make the cut.
Hmm.
But, yeah, definitely, Bill Belichick's definitely defensive-minded when it comes to drafting. And he gets in, I want to say, like, Asante Samuel, Wilson, Gay, he had that crew, you know, he got those guys third, second round, third round, fourth round. You know, they really go for, like, you know, they have their layout of a player they want. And a lot of those guys usually are later in the draft. They're not the superstar players.
Well, a lot of the guys that fit well in a Belichick system are guys that are intelligent. And necessarily the guys that are really intelligent don't always have – they're not the max, you know, stat guys. Those aren't the guys that have, like, the max, I've got the highest vertical or I've got the highest, you know, the best long jump. The guys that he gets are usually guys that have – a good mix of lots of qualities, but guys that use their head and love the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that's why he took a chance on Tim Tebow. At one time, I just think that when he finally got Tebow in camp, he just realized that he just wasn't a good enough of a quarterback to even really back up Tom Brady. You know, they would try to develop somebody else in that spot. So that's my opinion on that one. Well, I mean, okay, so your arch nemesis, the New York Giants, draft 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like? Giants are the ninth pick. That's right, 10th pick, St. Louis. Like I said, St. Louis, I like the offensive lineman, St. Louis.
They have
him as a six overall
guy. If I'm going to go Giants, I really think they need to reestablish their D-line.
Their offensive line's pretty shoddy too.
Yeah, their trenches are just terrible. You know,
I could see them taking Andrews Pete or Eric Flowers out of either one of those offensive guys.
Because when they had, you know, when their D line was the D line that won the two Super Bowls, their secondary looks better. Because no one's getting time. So you're throwing up, you know, ducks in the air, you're rushing your progressions, and it makes somebody's secondary look a lot better when they can't play to the rhythm they want to play at. So now all of a sudden you're like, oh, their secondary is great. But once that pressure went away and people are like, oh, man, there's so many holes in their secondary, they're always there. It's just that the quarterback has time to make a good pass all of a sudden and he doesn't make a mistake. So I think they need to get back to their old ways of, you know, build the trenches, maybe offensive first, because, you know, Eli, he's getting older, but he still has it, and he has Beckham. I mean, definitely
no,
want to give
Beckham,
him time to throw
like
that guy.
He looked like one of the best. He looked like one of the best receivers in the league towards the last 7-8 games of last year.
Yeah,
I think I went over that.
Dude.
The stats didn't lie about that one.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, as much as I can say I don't like the Giants, that guy is a beast.
Right.
He is nasty. He went late, and, like, so many people could have got him, and everybody's like, why didn't we get this
guy? Well, that's
guy?
The thing. I mean, I think, wasn't he injured for, like, the first few games last year? Wasn't he coming off an injury at the end of college? And that's what they've been talking about with Todd Gurley. They're like, that, like, a lot of people think that he honestly is a running back that could change someone's franchise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't Adrian Peterson, like, injured when he got drafted out of Oklahoma?
He had some kind of injury. Yeah.
I know he was injured either, like, the season before maybe he got drafted or something like that, and then the last season that he played, like, maybe people kind of think that he didn't maybe play very hard or something like that. I think that was something, maybe something like that. But, I mean, there's always going to be questions about guys coming off of injuries. You know, like, obviously, like, just like we said, Odell Beckham last year. But you're not
you know, all the guys on TV, like, you know, they're not, you're not drafting a guy for the first six games of his rookie year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not what you're drafting a guy for. If that's what you're drafting a guy for, then you're in the wrong business. You know, you're looking for longevity. If you think a guy's going to win you a Super Bowl in the first six games of the year, obviously you got another thing coming. So
yeah, going to be Cleveland.
Right? Yeah, right. Cleveland, what, they were like 4-2 last year or something like that?
Yeah, they were hot. And then they went on
their
a stretch.
Defense
played where
they good.
Played...
Their defense played good at the beginning of the year. They played the teams they played early on in the year, teams that were in their division, were struggling not because of football stuff, but because of like off the field stuff. Like they played Baltimore, New Orleans is not a good defensive team. You know what I mean? And those are a couple of teams that like it was close, like they lost or they barely beat at the beginning of last
yeah.
year. You know what I mean?
But and then
neither
they
one
lost
of those teams,
count
I don't
it.
Think. Yeah.
Because I believe they played the Bucks, Titans, Jags back to back. All three games in a row, and they gave one of those teams their first
right.
wins. And they could have went from, if I can remember correctly, I think they if they would have won that stretch, they would have been like 7-2 or something like that. Basically, they would have took a nice jump in the division, and they like won, they lost like one, and the other two, you know, everybody else in division won out those 3 weeks, and next thing you know, I think they were a game back after that stretch where they could have been a game up and or they are tied, whatever it was. But they had a shot to really separate themselves, and they blew it against – they were. I think all those teams either equaled one win or maybe didn't even have a win on the board yet.
Yeah. So here's my question to you. Out of teams last year that made the playoffs, who do you think makes, like, the biggest splash in this year's draft? Like, those are teams that have picks like, you know, 24 through 32, essentially. And I wouldn't, you can't count 31 because New Orleans got that pick from Seattle, but you can't count 31.
Yeah.
So teams, you know, Green Bay, Indy, Denver, Dallas, Baltimore, Carolina, Arizona.
Yeah, let's say
I mean,
Arizona.
It's weird because
maybe,
Arizona,
right?
Arizona has such a low pick. But I don't feel like their team is all that great. I feel like they almost got job. You know what I mean? I don't know how they made it at like the number one team out of, or well, actually no, Seattle made it as the number one team, but out of that division. But I mean Arizona, I mean they feel like they need a lot of help. They lost a lot of guys on defense. I think they're screwed, honestly. I think the team that has a chance to make the biggest splash out of any of these teams is Dallas. Because Dallas has a great
Dallas?
Team. I think if Dallas, because obviously you can think about Todd Gurley, you know, he's probably not going to be drafted in the top 10 because of possible injury concerns. But I think you're going to see Dallas move up to either take Todd
to running back
or Melvin Gordon. Because I don't know if either one of them is going to be available at 27. Because I think that they're both better than that. Because there are teams on here that need running back, San Diego being one of them. Miami.
I mean, in the same boat.
Cleveland, honestly. If I were Cleveland, I would keep both my picks. I would draft Todd Gurley with the 12th pick, and then at the 19th pick, I would draft somebody on defense. Honestly, if I was Cleveland, that's what I would do because that would be the smart play. And then if someone's available at 12 on defense that you thought wasn't going to be there, fine. Don't draft Todd Gurley at 12. Draft freaking Melvin Gordon at 19. You know what I mean? Like, who's their running back, Cleveland? Who are they handing off to?
I was going to ask the same question.
You
can't tell
me because they don't have anybody. Who?
Tate, right? Didn't they trade for, like, Ben Tate from Texans, but he got hurt or something?
You know that's not a long-term solution. That's like a stopgap.
Yeah.
They brought him in. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if Ben Tate was that good, teams would be lined up to sign Ben Tate, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cleveland would not have gotten him. Cleveland would not get Ben Tate. Cleveland, in my opinion, Cleveland has to draft people. Who are you gonna get in free agency unless you're going to sign them for more money than they're worth to come to freaking Cleveland?
Yeah.
Who would you rather sign with, Miami or Cleveland, for the same amount of money? Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Why would you sign with Cleveland?
Yeah.
It's horrible, terribly cold. I'd rather sign in Miami for the same amount of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like my money's not going to go as far in Miami, but I don't live in the cruddy rain, and I don't play in a division where I get, you know, if I'm a quarterback, where I'm getting pummeled all the time. I'd rather play in the NFC.
Hard grass.
Yeah. I'd rather play in the NFC East, where teams like to air it out, not crush each other.
Yeah.
If I was playing in the NFL, that's one of the teams, divisions I'd least like to go to.
I know, you got to play Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and
Cincinnati. If I was an offensive player, I would not want to go to that division. If I was a defensive player, I would want to go to that division because all the teams are geared around your defense. So you know your defense is going to be pretty good. So honestly, it really revolves around who they can bring in on offense in order to, you know, try to sustain something. I mean, who knows how long Josh Gordon's going to be okay. I think that if they drafted a running back and a tackle, or a wide receiver and a tackle, or even if they took the 12th pick and traded out of that somehow and gave New Orleans like the 13th pick and they ended up getting like another pick, because I know that
the third pick, yeah.
Something. I mean, the more picks, the merrier, in my opinion, if your name is the Cleveland Browns, and you should not take a quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, them and Tennessee, they need it. They're a lot of these teams, like Jacksonville, they have a young offense. They need defense. That's just, you know, it's known. They got young second-year quarterbacks, second-year running backs, like even second-year receivers. Their whole team is young. Offensive line definitely needs a little help, but they might go offensive line, but definitely need to, you know, they did need work on offensive line, defense. They need to give their offense some time, you know, a year or two. If it's not working, start filling it in, but they definitely need to give that young offense a little time to click.
Yeah. I would have to agree.
And, we have like a little over a minute left.
All right. So what's your biggest surprise of round number one? That's what we're on. Each of our biggest surprises of round one.
My biggest surprise would be if Cleveland did move to number two, but not to get Mariota, but to get Leonard Williams.
Yeah.
All right, I could see that. I think that would be weird. I don't know if they would do that. Because
they have the secondary.
Okay.
They have two good corners. That pass rush to give those corners that extra time would be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. I think my pick, I like San Diego to somehow move up into the number two spot and take Mariota.
Okay.
That's my pick. I think they packaged something with Phillip Rivers and the number 17 pick. They're going to have to throw something else in also if they want to get Mariota too. They're going to have to throw something else in there. They're going to have to throw in like a second round pick, or they're going to have to throw something else in there, because just that won't get it done. But
All right. That was a good first show back. And
yeah, good first show. Yeah.
Good to be back, one of those things. And, I set it up, just a quick shout out. This will only be on the podcast. But we do have a Twitter account only dedicated to the Doom Radio show now. It's at doomradio.com. You only get schedule updates, sport news, stuff like that. Everything just related to the show. Website, hopefully very soon. And if you have any questions, you can actually email us now at doomradio@gmail.com.
Awesome.
So definitely came back a little refocused this time.
Yeah. You got to get some refocus. All right, man. I'll see you later.
All right. Yep. Peace.
Later, man.